السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فيقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. ويقول عز وجل: الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. ويقول عز وجل: ذلكم الله ربي عليه توكلت وإليه أنيب. Respected brothers and elders in Islam, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our nourisher, our cherisher, our sustainer and provider. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most powerful. Nothing in this dunya happens without the permission of Allah. Each and every single thing around us continues to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah says, man, you, وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ, you cannot comprehend its glorification. How do they glorify Allah? May peace and salutations be upon the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon him, upon his family, and upon his companions till the day of Qiyamah. Respected brothers and elders in Islam, it is only through the fadl and karam and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us and permitted us to witness another month of Ramadan in our lives. And perhaps by now we have heard in many, many talks about the significance of this month, that this is the month of mercy, this is the month of rahmah, this is the month of forgiveness, this is the month of emancipation of souls from the fire of Jahannam, this is the month of this and this is the month of that. Very simply we put it as, this is a month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking for excuses to forgive us all. You see this fasting of ours? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith says, مَنْ صَامَ رَمَضَانْ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. That person who fasts in the month of Ramadan with iman and with the hope of gaining reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let him know that all his sins shall be forgiven for him. This qiyam, the standing up during the hours of the night and performing salatul taraweeh and qiyamul layl, man qama ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi. This is another excuse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks for these excuses to forgive us his servants. Laylatul qadr, the same. وَمَنْ قَامَ لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. You stand up during the hours of the night of Qadr, consider all your sins to be forgiven. And then of course, this i'tikaf, and this tilawat of Qur'an, and there are so many other acts of ta'at, obedience, by the means of which we gain the maghfirah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But my dear brothers and elders in Islam, we will only appreciate all of these opportunities that are given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we have complete iman, conviction and certitude and faith and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the promises that are made to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind performing these a'mal and these acts of ta'at during the month of Ramadan. You see, the stronger the iman, the stronger the faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the stronger the deed, the stronger the amal. The weaker the faith, the weaker the amal. If we have strong iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the promises that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made to us, then we would perform solid, powerful amal. We would do strong amal. But if our iman is weak and we don't have strong iman in Allah, then we will present weak and feeble amal in the court of Allah. And that is why you see, there's a world of difference in terms of our a'mal and in the a'mal of the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhum ajma'een and in the tabi'een and in our pious salafun as-salih, our pious predecessors. We can never compare our a'mal to the a'mal of the Sahaba and our pious predecessors. We perform a few raka'ats of nafil salah and then we become tired, we become lazy, we become exhausted. We read a few pages of Quran, we make some tilaw of the Quran and then we are tired. But we see, subhanAllah, in this month of Ramadan, the Sahaba and the pious predecessors, They would recite, make tilawah of the Quran. They would never ever become tired. They would make khatam upon khatam of the Quran. They would recite, they would read salah, raka'at upon raka'at, and they will never ever become exhausted from salah. So it boils down to one thing, my dear brothers. It boils down to one thing. And what is that? It is the strength of our faith, the strength of our iman. If our iman is strong, then our amal will be strong. And of course, now comes the question, how do we keep our iman strong? How do we strengthen the level of our iman? How do we lift up this level of iman? Alhamdulillah, we have iman. But we got to make a constant effort now on this iman. If we don't make an effort on iman, then I promise you, my dear brothers, in no time you will see that iman will begin to slowly disappear from us. If you want to raise, and if you want to lift up, and if you want to strengthen this level of iman that you have within yourselves, then you need to make a constant effort on this iman. And how do you make this effort on iman? You gotta keep on reminding yourselves. We have to remind ourselves about the greatness of our Creator. We have to talk about the greatness of Allah. We have to talk about the power of Allah, the qudra of Allah. Allah is our Khaliq, He is our Raziq. The Creator, the Nourisher, the Cherisher, the Sustainer, the Provider. Every single thing, nothing happens in this dunya without His permission. And every single thing continues to glorify Allah. Then only, when we talk about the greatness of Allah, then only we will gain this strong level of iman and this mahabba and this true love and immense love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, I give you a very, very simple example. A person buys a new car. Mashallah, fancy, beautiful, brand new car. And he brings this car now to his friends. And now he begins to talk about it. He talks about the shape, the model, the interior, the exterior, how the car goes, how it drives, the engine, the horsepower, and then he goes on and on talking about this car. Whoever is around him, nobody will dispute the fact that this person here, you know, nobody will dispute the fact that this person does not have immense love, does not have love for this particular car that he has purchased. Everybody will accept and will agree to the fact that, you see, this person, he has a lot of love for this car that he has. In the same way, my dear brothers, are we not the ibad? Are we not the servants? Are we not the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If we have true and immense love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will never ever find a time where we do not speak about the greatness of Allah. Really, how it saddens you today. Take a youngster or an elderly person, tell him to speak to me about the greatness of Allah, our Creator. Talk about Allah. And he will begin, Allah is our Creator, Allah created everything, Allah created us, Allah created the stars, created them, and he stops. And then he can't continue. No, my dear brothers. But we can speak about dunya, we can speak about the people of dunya, we can speak about the worldly things. But Allah, we cannot speak about the greatest of all beings, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, it boils down to the same answer, my dear brothers. And that is, if you want to preserve iman, and if you want to preserve faith, within your circles, within your societies, and within your people, then you gotta make this constant effort on iman. You gotta make this constant effort on iman billahi azza wa jal. Trust me, my dear brothers and elders in Islam, the fact that you are present here today in the masjid, on this day of Jumu'ah, in the month of Ramadan, would this strong iman billahi azza wa jal, this is not out of your own accord, my dear brothers. This is not out of your own accord. Trust me, my dear brothers, there were lots of sacrifices and efforts that were made and that were put behind these fruits that you see today, alhamdulillah, this ni'mah of iman that we have in our societies. There were many, many sacrifices and lots of efforts that were made by our forefathers, by our grandparents, by our great-grandparents. And alhamdulillah, yeah, we know in this masjid we see also so many of us belong to the Indian descent. We come from the Indian descent. So we see that our forefathers, alhamdulillah, our grandparents or great-grandparents, when they migrated from India and when they came to this country, they didn't come for the sake of dunya only. They didn't come for the sake of trade only. Or if they came for trade, then they brought along with them this deen, this iman billahi azza wa jal. They had this concern and this fikr and this worry that now when they came to this country of South Africa, how they can keep and how they can revive, how they can keep and preserve this iman within their people, within their environs, within their societies, within their cultures. So this was a constant effort that our forefathers kept on making when they came to this country. And they made lots of effort, lots of sacrifices. And this is the fruit that you and I see today. Remember, my dear brothers and elders, wherever in the world, there was a hijrah, a migration, a Muslim migration, for the sake of dunya, and for the sake of tijara, for trade, and not for deen whatsoever, then remember, slowly with time, as time passed by, we see that the Muslims began to lose their faith, they began to lose their iman. And wherever in this world we see that there was a Muslim migration that took place for the sake of deen and dunya, for the sake of dunya and akhirah. There's nothing wrong to make hijrah, to migrate for the sake of dunya as well. لِتَبْتَغُوا مِن فَضْلِ اللَّهِ, so that you can seek from the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you are in the world. But remember, you take along with you your deen that you have. And you see our grandparents, alhamdulillah, when they came to these countries, they established masajid, they established madaris for us. Wallah, we owe them a lot. If it was not for their sacrifices, you and I, we wouldn't have known where we would have been today, wallah. Whether we would be Muslim or whether we would be non-Muslim, ma'ad Allah, Allah protect us. So we see in the world, wherever there is this migration for the sake of deen and dunya, dunya and akhirah, then we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves and He keeps that deen, He keeps that Islam intact and alive within its people. And now I'm going to give you an example, or a short episode of how deen sometimes goes away and disappears from people who migrate for the sake of dunya and not for deen, not for akhirah whatsoever. During the first 3 weeks of this month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He blessed us with a safar to a continent wherein we can safely say that in many, many of these countries, there were once upon a time, not long ago, many, many Muslims. But what happened, as I said, when the migration takes place for the sake of dunya and not for deen, then slowly you find people begin to lose their faith in Allah. They lose their iman. And that's exactly what happened in this continent. And I went to the continent, we visited South America. And from the 12 countries that are in South America, Allah made it possible for us to visit 3 countries in this continent. Argentina, Brazil, and Uruguay. For your information, my dear brothers, if you do not know as yet, remember, there are approximately 50 South African ulama. 50 South African ulama from our country. 50 South African ulama who have now permanently migrated to South America. For one niyyah, for one maqsad, for one purpose. And what is this purpose? It is to revive this Islam and to revive this iman and this deen within its people. Now perhaps you're probably thinking, why South America? Why these countries in South America? And alhamdulillah, they're making effort in approximately 7-8 countries now in the continent. But you're probably thinking, why South America? Now here we need to understand, South America has, mashallah, a good history of Islam. And the Muslim settlers that also came into these countries in South America. And of course, we don't have the time, and nor do I have the knowledge of the Islamic history and the Muslim settlers that settled in and migrated into all of these countries in South America. But I'm just going to mention to you, give you a small history of Islam and the Muslim immigrants into these countries that I have just visited only. That is Argentina, Brazil, and Uruguay. So we'll start with Argentina because that's the first country we visited. Subhanallah, my dear brothers, Argentina, we need to remember, there were approximately 2 migrations that took place, 2 Muslim migrations. And the first Muslim migration that took place was in the 15th century. I'm talking about the first Muslim migration that took place to Argentina was in the 15th century. Muslims from the Iberian Peninsula, belonging to the North African descent, Syrian descent, Arab descent, Spanish descent as well, they migrated from Spain. Why did they migrate from Spain? Actually, they fled from Spain in order to save themselves from the torture and the persecution that was going on at that time, which is known as the Spanish Inquisition. So they left Spain. And then they came and they settled, they came to South America, or they went into the Americas and they explored Americas, and then they came into South America, and then they settled in this country of Argentina. So that is actually the first migration that took place, the first Muslim migration that took place to South America, not South America, I mean Argentina in the continent. And the second migration that took place, Muslim migration into Argentina, this happened in the late 19th century, in the early 20th century, where Argentina saw a wave of Arab Muslims that came and settled in the Argentinian territories. They came from the Arab Bilad al-Sham. They came from Syria, they came from Palestine, they came from Jordan, they came from Lebanon, they came from these countries. And they settled here in Argentina. Now why did they come? This is the question. Why did they come to Argentina? Remember, my dear brothers, the people or the locals at that time of the country, they had absolutely no knowledge about farming whatsoever. And they needed, and they knew that, alhamdulillah, you know, the knowledge and the expertise here lies within these Arab people. And they knew that these people had the knowledge. So they brought these people in from Bilad al-Sham. And they came in the hundreds of thousands. They came into South America. And settled into many, many different countries in South America. And many of them, of course, came into Argentina as well. So they're here in the hundreds of thousands now in this country. And of course, my dear brothers, you know, when a person migrates, when he goes to another country, they say, you must assimilate and you must integrate within the community and you must behave like everybody else. And that's exactly what happened. These people, when they mixed up with the locals of the country, of course, when they came, just the men came, they were not allowed to bring the woman. So they also have this desire within themselves, they also have the shahwa, and they also had to get married, so they married the locals. And the locals were non-Muslim. And wallahi, my dear brothers, you know, over a space of just a few years have just passed, and they have lost their iman totally. They lost the faith, they lost their iman totally. And that is what we see today in Argentina, hundreds of thousands of Muslims. They lost this iman completely. The only thing that remains now within them is a Muslim name or a Muslim surname. And how many people we have met? What is your name? My name is Abdullah. Or my name is Ahmad. Or my name is Umar. Subhanallah, you have a Muslim name. He says, yes, I know. I have a Muslim name. I'm not Christian, I'm not Jewish. I know my grandfather, he named me. He gave me a Muslim name. Or my grandfather used to read the Quran. But when there was no effort on iman, then the grandfather or the parents or whoever from that family, slowly within time, my dear brothers, within a short space of time, they all began to lose their iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. So the first city that we visited in Argentina was Buenos Aires. And subhanAllah, there's an ajeeb history also of Buenos Aires. From here, from Johannesburg, before we get to Buenos Aires, from here, Johannesburg, we flew from here to Buenos Aires via Sao Paulo. Quite a long flight from here to Sao Paulo, plus minus 10 and a half hours. At Sao Paulo, we waited till we got the connecting flight to Argentina, Buenos Aires, another few hours till we got to Buenos Aires. You see, mashallah, Buenos Aires is a very multicultural city. People belonging to different, there are people of different ethnic groups, different religious groups. And you see, Buenos Aires is also a home to the 7th largest Jewish population in the world. Buenos Aires is actually a home to the 7th largest Jewish population in the world and the largest in Latin America, in South America. So this is Buenos Aires. So now we are now on this flight to Buenos Aires via Sao Paulo. And there was an Argentine. Now I'm going to give you an experience of how da'wah now starts on a journey, you know. The first people we meet is an Argentinian rugby team. They are here in our country. They came to play rugby. And then here they came for some training or whatever. And now they're going back to their country, Buenos Aires. So at first we did not take notice of them on the flight to Sao Paulo because they were probably located in the back of the aircraft. But from Sao Paulo to Buenos Aires, Allah made it such that my seat was now located in the middle of the team. So in front of me, you see, there's the team, behind me is the team, and where I'm located, I'm sitting here on the window seat, and this person here from the team next to me He starts to communicate and he tells me, you know what, you Muslim? I say, yes, I'm Muslim. He says, do you speak English? I say, yes, I do speak English. So he says, I just visited your country now, South Africa. So and I began to talk to him, which cities you visited? And he began to talk. And then he says that I want to tell you something. Have you heard? Because he's from an Argentinian rugby club. He's a player and he's come to play here in this country. So he's asking me now, he tells me that, do you know of this Brazilian rugby, this New Zealand rugby player who has now accepted Islam in New Zealand? And I tell him, I told him, I don't know of this player that you're talking about. He gives me the name. I said, we know of one player who has accepted Islam some time back, Sonny Bill Williams. He says, no, I'm not talking about him. After the incident, the shooting incident that happened in that masjid in Christchurch, there's this one person who accepted Islam, who's from the New Zealand rugby team. He has accepted Islam now on the hands of Sonny Bill Williams. So I say, mashallah, I didn't know about that. And that's how we began to talk about Deen Islam. Believe me, my dear brothers, I started speaking to you about Islam. What is Islam? What is the meaning of submission? What is the meaning of assalamu alaikum, peace? What is the meaning of peace be upon you? And this whole row with three seats to the right of the aircraft, three seats to the left, the other speaks Spanish. And now he's speaking in the English language and then he's translating for his brothers. And I'm giving him this dawah. I'm giving him this dawah and they all are listening to the dawah. Yesterday he messages me and he asks me, what is meant by the night of Qadr? From here you understand, my dear brothers, these people, they have this thirst. And they're really thirsty. They really want to know about Islam. هُمْ عَطْشَى فَمَنْ يَسْقِيهِمْ شَرَابَ الْإِيمَانِ They are thirsty, my dear brothers. They want to know. But who is there out there in the world to quench them and to give them and to quench them this sharab, this thirst that they have for Iman? My dear brothers and elders, this was just on the start of the day. And there's so many incidents. Now we get to Buenos Aires, mashallah, we see in this city there is a musalla put up by our South African Muslims, a few families here from Joburg. They put up this musalla. It's in the heart of the Jewish community. It's in an area called Onse. And this is the musalla, it is the masjid, whatever you want to call it. It is the markaz, the tablighi headquarters. It is the madrasa, it is the maktab, it is everything. Everything happens from this place, this musalla in a town, in this place called Onse in Buenos Aires. MashaAllah, at the beginning, there were only few people who would come here for salah. 7-8 people would come for salah in the beginning when this musalla was established. Today, alhamdulillah, in the month of Ramadan, we witnessed 2 jumu'ahs taking place. Hundreds of people coming to this musalla. And I heard that in other times also, there are 3 jumu'ahs that take place in the month of Ramadan, over the last previous years. Hazrat Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein was also there a few years back and he also mentioned the same 3 Jumu'ahs took place in that time when he was there in the month of Ramadan. Today, alhamdulillah, our Muslim family community from South Africa, a few members, they have now, alhamdulillah, purchased a plot of land now across this musalla or somewhere on the same street, and they have now purchased a plot of land and they have, alhamdulillah, they are now putting up this 8-story building, masjid here in Buenos Aires. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah also makes it a success for them. So this is Buenos Aires. After Buenos Aires, oh, there were many, many towns also we visited. I'm going to mention to you one more town here in Argentina, Mar del Plata, which is located in the southeast of Buenos Aires along the coast of the Atlantic Ocean. In this city of Mar del Plata, subhanallah, there are approximately plus minus 650,000 Muslims. 650,000 people. This is the population of Mar del Plata. But this is a very touristy place, touristy city. Lots of people come here. They come here for holiday. We're not going to talk about that, my dear brothers. We came to talk about the deen. 650,000 people in Mar del Plata. What will amaze you to know is that in the 650,000 people, there are approximately 50 to 70% of Muslim names or surnames in this population of 650,000 people. So you meet a person here again on the road, subhanallah, and he'll give you a Muslim name. There was a masjid. Long ago, there was a masjid put up by the Arab brothers when they came and they migrated to Mar del Plata. But today, that masjid no longer exists. You see on the walls, La ghaliba illallah. There is nobody dominant other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That masjid, because there was no effort on iman, the masjid is now converted into shops. And I don't even want to tell you what they sell in those shops, my dear brothers. But alhamdulillah, again, with the effort of our brothers here from Joburg, a few families, they have now put up another masjid in Madal Plata. Alhamdulillah, 5-story building in Madal Plata. And alhamdulillah, great work is now being taken by the ulama who are doing effort there. Lots of sacrifices they are giving for us, for giving for deen in the city. After Madal Plata, we went to another city in Argentina, Quilmes. There too, alhamdulillah, we see there's a madrasa that is established. Many people, many students come during the holiday. They come to this madrasa. Whatever basic teachings of Islam you can give them in that short time of the holiday, they learn that, they go back to their respective countries, and then they propagate and they promulgate the deen in their respective towns and cities. Currently there are students from Venezuela, from Paraguay, from Uruguay and other countries as well. They come during the holidays. After Quilmes, we went now from Argentina, from Buenos Aires by bus. We are now going into another country. We go into Brazil. And now, here we take a bus. It's actually a very, very long drive, approximately 13, 14 hours by bus. We go into a town called Rivera, which is actually in Uruguay. This town in Rivera, it actually borders the south region of Brazil. So it borders a town called Santana do Livramento, which is actually now in the south region of Brazil. Alhamdulillah, here in the south region of Brazil, there are plenty, plenty Palestinian Muslims. We see in Brazil how Islam came to Brazil. Many African slaves came into Brazil with Islam. So that is how Islam stayed within them. And then we see also lots of Arab immigrants into Brazil. And in the south region of Brazil, throughout the towns, you only see Palestinians. Alhamdulillah, in this town of Santana do Livramento, there are approximately 140 Muslim families, and they say plus minus 70% of the women are in hijab. When we say hijab, we mean scarf, not niqab. But alhamdulillah, that is a great achievement for them compared to the sister towns now of Santana do Livramento. You look at the other towns in Brazil, in the south region of Brazil, there's no deen. There's no environment of deen whatsoever. There's no amal of deen taking place. We visited quite a few other towns. We went to one town by the name of Baje. In this town, subhanallah, we were very, very fortunate to meet a person from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He had his shajara, he had his family tree growing up right to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam via Hussein radiallahu an. Subhanallah, you know how happy we were at that time when we met a family member from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this person, he shows us the shajara. He lives in a town called Asigwa, like 50 kilometers away from Baje. The first person to discover this Sayyid, this person from this family member of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was an alim, a South African alim from our country by the name of Maulana Abdul Ghani. Mashallah, he's doing great work today in Brazil. He's established madaris, makati, musallas there also in Sao Paulo. So he was making gush, he was making jola in Brazil, in this town of Asigua. And he came across this family, Muhammad Ali Al-Yaqubi is his name. So he opens his door and he says, come in. And then he shows this mana, his shajara. This mana looks at the shajara and he says, he cries and he tells me, he says, Subhanallah, he's so fortunate that he's actually seeing a family member of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now to work, to make effort on the iman of people who are from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and from the family of Sahaba in these towns, in these small cities and towns in the south region of Brazil. After that, alhamdulillah, we visited many, many other countries. But now I just want to mention to you one, something for us to reflect upon and to appreciate and to show appreciation and to be grateful for the Hufaz that we have in our country, my dear brothers. After this town of Baji, we visited another town called Rio Grande. Actually, Rio Grande is all of these towns in the south region of Brazil that we visited. They belong to a state which is called Rio Grande do Sul, which is actually, you know, one state from the 26 states that are in Brazil. We just visited this one state, Rio Grande do Sul. And in this state, now in this town of Rio Grande, that is the name of the town. Subhanallah, we walk in the masjid and we see there are so many sheets of paper, and we see on these sheets of paper there are ayat of Quran from Wadduha to Nas. And there we see they are put up like on frames, erected, you know, in front of the imam. And then we think to ourselves, what's all of this? You know, so many, subhanallah, ayat of Quran on so many sheets of paper. What is this? And then the imam tells us that, you see, we have iman within us. We have iman, and we are conscious about our iman as well. But the only thing is, we don't have any hafiz in this community. From here you understand, my dear brothers, how much of shukr you must make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that You know, just in this area of Overport, we look at Sparkswood. I remember the time on Cannon Avenue, a small road, small street. There are approximately 3 heaps classes just on one street, subhanAllah. Here we have so many towns, so many cities. There's no tilawah of the Quran. There's no heaps of the Quran. When they want to perform taraweeh, they have to perform looking inside the Quran and they perform. Of course, that is another masala, whether it's permissible or not permissible. Certain madhahib allow it. We're not discussing that. But the point is, the point is that these people do not have hufaz of the Quran, of the kitab of Allah. Thank our hufaz, my dear brothers. Make sure that they become genuine, jayid, or hufaz. They become strong, good hufaz, practicing hufaz. Do you know, right now, my dear brothers, in the whole south region of Brazil, not Brazil, I mean in so many countries now in South America, probably in 7 or 8 countries, there are approximately 70 hufaz from our country, South Africa, who are now in this month of Ramadan performing taraweeh for the musallis there. Arabs, subhanAllah. Our South Africans are reading Quran for the Arabs and beautiful Quran. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve the ulama we have. Preserve the hufaz that we have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep the iman that we have intact in us and in our progenies to come till the day of Qiyamah. May Allah never make any one of us ever turn against Islam. May Allah never make any one of us become murtad. Remember the entire ummah in your dua. May Allah keep all of us united on iman. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.